Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at viking.com.
Here's your money briefing for Monday, October 25th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. That 2% raise you got this year might not be doing a lot to offset skyrocketing prices on basic expenses like food, gas, and clothing, but there could be some relief on the horizon. Higher inflation triggers some automatic adjustments in the nation's tax laws. That could mean a little more money in your paycheck.
These adjustments are designed so that as inflation happens, the tax system doesn't bite you more or less, generally, than it would have in the prior year.
Coming up, we'll talk to WSJ tax reporter Richard Rubin about when you're likely to see your check go up and how inflation triggers changes that affect other areas of your personal finances. That's after the break.
AI may be the most important new computer technology ever, but AI needs a lot of processing speed, and that gets expensive fast. Upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is the single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. Do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic. Take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/wallstreet. oracle.com/wallstreet.
Consumer prices began to rise around the end of last year when demand picked back up, and they haven't stopped. That's left a lot of Americans having to stretch their paycheck. But higher inflation also triggers changes to the formulas in the nation's tax laws, and that could mean some relief for your wallet. WSJ tax reporter Richard Rubin has been running the numbers, and he's here to boil things down for us. Rich, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Oh, happy to do it.
So, Rich, this is kind of complex, so help us understand this. There are areas of the nation's tax laws that are designed to adjust based on the rate of inflation to help people out who are getting clobbered by higher prices. Who would benefit from that?
So, a lot of the main features of the tax code that we think about all the time, the standard deduction, the tax brackets, those are tied to inflation. So, every year, the IRS looks at what consumer prices are, follows a formula set out in the law, and raises those thresholds so that as your income rises, you don't get bumped into a higher bracket too soon, and you can use the standard deduction to shield more of your income. So for most wage earners in most years, those basic features of the tax system are tied to inflation. So in this year, going into 2022, all those parameters will slide upward. What Congress is trying to do is to not have stealth tax increases, to sort of slide the tax code upward along with prices and wages. And so these adjustments are designed so that as inflation happens, the tax system doesn't bite you more or less generally than it would have in the prior year. So it's designed to keep the real status quo, even though the numbers might change.
Okay, so how would that work out to a bump in someone's take-home pay, and how much would that increase be?
Right, so it really is going to depend on any individual situation what the increase will be. But what will happen is the IRS will update the withholding tables, and then so will your employer. And so when you flip over from December to January, less money will come out for income taxes from your paycheck. Now, obviously, that's designed in real terms to help cover the costs of higher prices, and maybe you also have higher wages. But if your wages, if you happen not to get a wage increase between December and January, that's when you'd see at least some sort of change in your take-home pay because of these inflation adjustments. And then that all gets sort of finally reconciled on the tax return that you'll file in early 2023.
Okay, but Rich, what's the catch? Are there areas of the tax law that affect consumers that don't always adjust with inflation?
There are some examples that we can think about. One of the ones that's been around for the longest is there's a $3,000 limit on how much in capital losses, like if you sell stock for a loss, how much of that you can deduct from ordinary income. That $3,000 has been in the law that way for more than 40 years. The maximum that you can have as tax-free income when you sell your home. Also, $250,000 for an individual, $500,000 for a married couple, that's been in the law for more than 20 years. So you have some of these fixed numbers, and they sort of creep up over time, and sometimes Congress bumps them up, and sometimes Congress just leaves them there.
Well, those are some pretty heavy-hitting deductions that could really come in handy that Congress isn't allowing to fluctuate with inflation.
Well, sometimes it's intentional. Sometimes they're trying to have a provision pinch more over time, but in a sort of sneaky way. And then sometimes that also helps them meet revenue targets. So they might, you know, it might, a particular provision might raise more money by not tying it to inflation. It might appear to raise more money. And then with everyone sort of knowing, they might come along later and fix it and resolve it. And so it's definitely part of the decisions that Congress makes every time it sets one of these numbers. It tries to figure out, should it be tied to inflation or not?
All right. So the standard deduction and the tax bracket adjustments are designed to keep up with inflation. But do we know how much they'll lessen the bite inflation will take from people's finances?
It depends on the bucket of goods and services that you're buying. I think, you know, for people who are buying things that have gone up a lot in price, then this won't be enough. And for people who are purchasing less and saving more, perhaps, you know, they maybe this will not be as, you know, maybe this will be more than they need. It really is going to depend on your individual circumstances.
Now, a lot of what we've been talking about would benefit middle-income workers. How would higher-income workers fare under these changes?
So again, it depends on what they're doing. So the capital loss deduction that we talked about is, you know, something that tends to be for higher-income people. There's a $200,000, $250,000 set of taxes that take effect when you hit those income levels. Those have been stuck in the law since they took effect about 8 to 10 years ago. And so more and more higher income people will come into contact with those over time. And so that, I think, is, you know, something that higher income investors and workers, depending on their particular situation, might encounter.
And when will people have to start thinking about plugging these changes into their tax returns?
So the important thing to remember is these changes don't affect the return that you're going to file in early 2022. These are changes that take effect for the 2022 tax year. And then they only sort of get resolved on the return that you file a year and a half from now in early 2023.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal tax reporter Richard Rubin. Rich, it's been great having you with us.
Happy to be here.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.
This episode is brought to you by Vanta. Vanta's trust management platform helps you quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more. Learn how by watching Vanta's on-demand demo at vanta.com/WSJ.